my name is Tim Murdoch. Welcome to Happy Horror Time.
And I am Matt Emmert, and we are so excited to do another movie review episode, right, Tim?
I am so pumped right now because you gave me an energy drink.
I did. So just so people, you know, everyone does their thing like coffee in the morning or energy drinks. I am a sucker for those disgusting energy drinks. Sugar-free, though, Tim.
Oh, good. So I won't be a fat blob.
But what I was about to say, so I'm a fat... No.
Well,
no,
yeah,
no.
You are.
No, no. What I was going to say is... and Tim never drinks caffeine. So me,
but
I can
have... Wait. Do you want me to tell you why I don't drink coffee?
I have a feeling it makes you shit.
It does. But I mean, honestly, if I have like one sip, do not, like, I can't be on a train, I can't be on a bus,
some
I can't
people
be
do
in a car.
It specifically for that, Tim.
I know. I think that's everyone, right?
Well, yeah, I guess. But like, anyway, I drink caffeine a lot, so it's not a big deal. It gives me a little kick. Tim has like a sip and is bouncing off the walls.
I am like, no joke, like coffee has an effect on
me. Which is funny because that's just like you with alcohol.
I know. Like, I have two drinks and like...
I was going to say just like crazy and then asleep.
Yeah.
Just like a cheap date. And this has And this has nothing to do with Happy Horror Time. But you know what does, Tim? The holidays.
The holidays.
We hope that everybody is enjoying them, whether you're at home, which you should be.
No, you shouldn't be. What? Don't you dare go home and see their family, you super spreader.
I mean your own household. That's what I mean. Yes, of course. If you're traveling, please be safe.
Are trash.
If you're at home by yourself, hopefully you can get a nice warm cup of cocoa and listen to Happy Horror Time.
Yeah, or a Hallmark movie. Tim, don't promote Hallmark.
What if our voices were more like this, Tim? Hi.
Well, I don't know if I'm ever going to be capable of being seductive.
Well, you know what, Tim? You've had boyfriends, so something has worked.
You know what? I paid them. They're called hookers.
Your longest relationship is longer than any relationship I've had, so don't sell yourself short.
Thanks.
That's the only nice thing
I'll
say.
It was a con.
Happy. I'm sorry.
Don't
I'm a person
sing.
Who sings all the time. Okay. We
Rap.
Are going to discuss two... new-ish releases.
Yeah.
And which one do you want to start with, Tim?
Let's do like... I
think we start with the big one.
The big one. Okay, let's do the big one.
Okay, the big one. It's a movie about the earthquake.
Okay, so this movie is directed by a fellow gay person. Now, I'm going to pretend like I know him, even though I've never met Chris Landon. Did he write and direct this movie?
I think so, and he also wrote and directed Happy Death Day, Happy Death Day 2.
Yeah, I liked Happy Death Day 1, and I liked... Happy Death Day 2.
I loved Happy Death Day 1. I was not a big fan of Happy Death Day 2, although I wouldn't be opposed to a third one. That's what, because I just love the story, the actors, the right everything. But we are going to discuss a movie that, if you're a horror fan, of course you've noticed this because it's been hyped for how long?
Like, oh, gosh. And you know what? What a shame we couldn't see it in the movie theater.
No, I mean, you know... COVID.
We talk about this every time.
I know, every time. Freaky. I felt like that would have been good if we said it together. Let's try
one,
again.
Two,
so
three.
Anyway,
freaky!
And what's great about this is that, so if you are living under a rock and haven't seen a trailer for it, it's basically take the idea of Freaky Friday, but apply it to a girl switching places with a serial killer.
Played by the amazing Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn, which, is it true that he's become like really conservative, crazy? My mom was saying
something. I don't think that's possible after making this movie.
Well, that's what I thought too. Like, but anyway, it starts.
But you know, Randy Quaid's brother has.
No, Randy Quaid.
Oh, damn it. Dennis Quaid.
His brother Randy.
Randy's crazy.
Check his Twitter out. That's all we can say. Freaky, directed, written by Christopher Land. And Christopher or Chris?
You know, I don't know him like that. So.
But do you want to?
Yeah. Well, he's married and he has a child. So.
Oh, well.
I mean, okay. But sometimes you have to wreck a home to make a home.
Oh, so he's successful. He has a family. Well, so the cast is Vince Vaughn as the serial killer. But remember, the majority of the movie, he's playing the girl in his body, which is hilarious. Like, I've never even been that big a fan of Vince Vaughn, but I loved him.
Me too. I liked him. I know I liked him in something.
The Psycho remake, definitely.
Yeah, you know, that movie has its moments.
Of just absolute disdain?
I was excited about it. I was excited back in 1998 or 99.
I I guess I just want to say no comment.
Wow.
I was not a fan of that. Okay. I mean, I also love Hitchcock's Psycho, and it just feels, I'm not one of those purists who doesn't think you should remake movies, but if you're going to remake it, do something different.
Julianne
and don't just
Moore?
Put, oh, you mean headphones on her?
Yeah.
Big difference.
That's like, hey, we're modern.
I love when she's like, let me get my headphones.
Oh,
or something.
Sorry, I got a message. I got to stop.
Tim purposely turns his ring up high so everyone can hear. Is it a Tinder match?
No, it's Sam Pancake. We'll talk later.
Pancake's his last name?
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
We'll talk. You could be Mr. Pancake.
You know what? One can dream.
Yeah, I love that. That's an awesome name. Anyway, God, we get on so many tangents.
Yeah, so
Vince Vaughn,
of Freaky.
And the other star is, you may not know her, but you should, Catherine Newton, who was the in Big Little Lies, she was Reese Witherspoon's eldest daughter.
Wow.
She was also in a series that I watched, which was canceled after the first season. I think it was called The Society. Damn it. Now, see, this is why research helps.
No, I agree. I really enjoyed her performance as Reese Witherspoon's daughter in Big Little Lies.
She also is, she's very young, and she was also in Blockers, Cock Blockers or whatever, but yes, The Society, oh my God, I got the name wrong. Really cool series that unfortunately, I think because all the COVID craziness, they were about to film season two and then they just didn't, but anyway,
so,
she's
yes,
talented,
this movie
very talented.
Starts off, I love the opening of this movie. Freaky has a wonderful opening with the four teens,
yeah,
two guys, two girls, mm-hmm. and they're none of, I can't really say any of them are likable, but I knew because they were kind of bitchy and awful, all four of them were going to die.
It's a great, so the funny thing is, so if you know Happy Death Day, you know it's sort of a horror comedy, and that's what this one is, like a horror comedy-ish, and they turn on the camp in the opening scene in the best way possible. It's like slasher, big opening scene. All four teens are like massacred by this killer called
and
the Butcher.
And every death is so gross. And Vince Vaughn really does capture Michael Myers' Jason walking around, and the mask is good.
He is like, if you told me, hey, what do you think Vince Vaughn as a killer? I would laugh.
Well, he's
a
big guy.
And he's, but that can be scary. I think the comedic aspect of him is what would make me think. But again, because this movie was like horror comedy, he was perfect. But yeah, massacre these four teens, and then it does like the opening Freaky. And again, someone who, let's pretend you knew nothing about it, you'd probably be like, wow, this is a big crazy horror movie, but
right.
Then
but you know, it takes a little while before the body switching happens. I mean, did you feel that way or no?
I did, but in a good way.
But, like, no, had to do all that to set it up.
Do you remember in Happy Death Day, like it takes a while before, because you do the whole day for her before, and you like, you know, establish all the characters, then she does it over and hilarity ensues. I love that line,
yes,
by the
yes,
way, Tim.
Yes.
Can we just use that all the time? Hilarity
ensues.
Do
I say that?
No, I just love it. I love it like I say
I thought the line was, and chaos ensues.
It can be either.
Oh.
It depends if it's chaos or hilarity.
Or poop.
Poop ensues.
Ew,
that would be
gross.
After you have an energy drink.
Well,
ew.
You mean a coffee.
Well, an energy drink too. Anyway, okay, so yeah, so you get to Catherine Newton, who's this like quiet, demure high school girl.
Mascot.
Yeah, oh yeah, she plays the mascot. She lives with just her mom and sister because her dad passed away a year ago. They make that known right away.
Right.
You know?
You know, it's really interesting. Happy Death Day and Freaky both have a parent passing.
Good observation. That's true. But I think it's because Christopher Landon, I think, is good at merging like
serious
with like heartfelt part, like, you know, we'll get to it later, but like
people
just, like,
dealing
Happy Death
with
Day.
Grief.
But it's good, like he gives, I don't know, he gives depth to these characters. They're not just, you know,
they're
dumb.
Not one dimensional.
Yes, exactly. So Catherine Newton is this quiet, she's got, and I love, she has her two best friends at school, which are, of course, you know, which perfect for diversity.
One gay guy,
one African-American girl. And they even joke about, like, well, there's a joke later that they're like black and gay, so they're never going to survive. But like, she has her two best friends, and you know, it's good to have like a representation. And I think that even though the gay guy's kind of flamboyant and stuff,
you know what this movie really, really does well is that you know, every character that gets killed in this film, it deserves
like
it.
Well, yeah.
I mean, like,
well,
I'm not
also,
saying anyone deserves death. That's crazy. But I'm saying,
you know what, like, those people that, no, but I know what you're saying though. But like, but what I wanted to say about the gay character is that what I love about him, you know, at first I'm like, okay, he's a little stereotypical, but what's really good, I think, is that he's totally unapologetic about who he is. You know, it's not like he's not afraid. He has more confidence than anybody. It's not a coming out story. He doesn't have to come out. He's just
he
proud.
He embraces
and,
yeah. And you know what? They don't play him that feminine. Like, sometimes when you watch a movie with a gay person in it, they really play it up.
It was a little flamboyant, but I love it when the cops are describing, they're like, she's with one female African-American, one male, excited. I thought that made me laugh. But anyway, funny. So she has her two best friends and blah, blah, blah. They hear about four kids have been killed, and could it be the butcher? There's this big urban legend about the butcher serial killer, which is Vince Vaughn. So I guess we should just cut to the mascot time.
Yes.
Yeah, so your then, favorite scene.
Well, so the way they set it up to get her alone is like her mom's supposed to pick her up, but she's still grieving about the passing of her father. So she overdrinks and she forgets to pick up her daughter who's left, which I've been in a situation like that. Like, I wasn't a mascot at a high school, but like, no, I went to the cemetery to see a movie and I was going to get a lift. And by the time I got out of the cemetery, my phone was dead. So I was like, I literally had to walk halfway home.
Wait, when was this?
This was like years ago.
Because that could but be I mean, a horror
like,
movie
yeah.
scene.
No, so well, I'm just saying, like, the setup was relatable for
she
me.
It's the big homecoming game, and her friend's like, do you need to ride home? No, my mom's picking me up. And literally, then it switches to, oh, and she's like, there's so many people around. Then it switches to, it must be like 30 minutes, 45 minutes later. It is completely empty. And, you know, and I remember, like, being at a stadium in the dark,
scary,
by yourself is terrifying. So, and of course, all these murders have happened before. So anyway, she then sees the butcher, the killer, Vince Vaughn, and she, like, there's a big scene. She runs and they have a struggle, and then he goes to stab her with this knife that
right in the middle of the football field.
Right in the middle of the football field. Right, it's like 50-yard line. No, but
50-yard line.
Oh, we forgot about he had stolen a knife from one of the teenagers.
Oh, yeah,
house
that was
in the
first 5 minutes of the movie.
And it's an old, like, ancient Mayan knife or whatever. So he goes to stab her, and as he's stabbing her, like, the, you know, it's like thunder and lightning.
It kind of reminded me of like He-Man.
It did, yeah. Yes. But it's like, apparently he goes to stab her, and right when he stabs her in the shoulder, because everyone who survives has to be stabbed in the shoulder.
Right, right.
He notices a wound, and that's when like all the thunder and whatever the
Dewey Dumbella.
Yeah, I know, totally. Oh, that's what it reminded me of.
Child's play.
And anyway, then her sister, the cop, you know, chases him down, saves Catherine Newton, but something's off about
her. So the next morning, she wakes up, but she's now Vince Vaughn, the serial killer. And it's like, I thought she did such a good job because, like, he's a man of few words because he's a serial killer. So he's just taking it all in, ready to kill everybody.
And that's the thing. It's like, it doesn't, the change doesn't happen until the next morning. So the attack happens, they're brought home, and then it switches next morning. She wakes up and, you know, after not even freaking out that much that she's a girl, like, the way Catherine Newton does, like, the facial expressions head movements, she looks crazy. But what I think was even more impressive was the way Vince Vaughn did, waking up as the girl in the serial killer's lair. He was just so funny as, like, a teenage girl realizing she's a middle-aged man, you know?
And you know what? Obviously, but the first thing you'd probably do is look at your ding-dong. And she didn't.
I will say, if you call it ding dong, you're not going to get a boyfriend.
Well, you know what? I don't care. I mean, didn't she call it a ding dong at one point?
Did she?
I don't know. I'm going to take look and pay $19.99 to see Freaky again.
17-year-olds cannot call penises ding dongs. You shouldn't even use penis.
I don't like the word penis.
I don't like the word ding dong. When I'm eating a Hostess ding dong, I like it.
You're gross.
You're gross. Get him up. Clean it up, Tim. No. So wait, what were you saying? Oh, yeah. Of course. Like when Catherine Newton, like she grabs her boobs because she's Vince Vaughn, you know, figuring out.
I'm glad they didn't really go there with that. They were just like, okay, we're good.
That would be, that could get, that's could what get I was creepy. Thinking too. Really, really
the
creepy.
The movie would be really freaky creepy.
Because it should be called creepy. No. Well, so anyway, it gets to the point where the killer in her body realizes that he has an entire high school at his disposal. So he takes her body to high school.
Interesting enough, before he gets to high school, he gets her red leather jacket, puts her hair up in a ponytail. So she looks like she's like this badass.
Well, but I think they're trying to say like when she was her normal self, she didn't have a
lot
of confidence.
She was kind of mousy.
Yeah. And him, obviously, he's a killer. Nothing stops him.
Confidence.
But this is what I was telling Tim when we watched this, is that she gets to school. She looks badass, like Tim said, with the red leather jacket, the ponytail. But she has perfect makeup on. And I know I shouldn't pick this apart, but how the hell did middle-aged serial killer know how to apply makeup?
Here's the thing. I was so happy this movie was made. And, like, I love the direction it was going, that I did look past that loophole.
Of course. Obviously, I think you have to look past the idea of souls interchanging.
What?
Too.
No, well, it's
that,
real.
That happens daily. Yeah. So anyway, and her friends are like, wow, she's, and people are noticing her, and she, of course, is acting crazy and whatever. And,
She, Vince Vaughn, goes to the high school as well.
Oh, yes.
But, and that's where comedy ensues. Mm. But I actually really, I had a smile on my face watching all of this. Like, now I sound like a grandma.
No, but I was smiling too because, like, Vince Vaughn is trying to convince the two best friends. I hate saying the gay guy and the black girl because, like, I don't want to describe them, but, like, I guess.
Did you remember? I didn't make a mental note.
I don't even remember Catherine Newton's name in it. I just remember the name of
the
butcher.
We're just calling her Catherine Newton.
I mean, I think it's better that we know the actor's name, but what was her name? Something with an M. Millie?
That sounds right. Thoroughly, yeah, that sounds Millie? Right. I think it is Millie.
Oh, well, it is Millie. Okay, yeah. So, anyway, her two friends, of course, like, Vince Vaughn is trying to tell them, no, I'm Millie. And then he has to do, like, their cheer. And seeing Vince Vaughn, a middle-aged, like, sort of out of shape guy, doing a little
Vince
dance.
Vince Vaughn listens to this.
No, but I mean, like, it was hilarious. Like,
it was
good. And then they finally believe him and believe
her. All three of them become friends.
I mean, I'm going to keep messing up my pronouns here because believe Millie, who's Vince Vaughn, And they realize, and then, you know, she's trying to warn them as Vince Vaughn, wait, but the butcher's here, as in my body, we got to stop him. And so
it's really interesting because, like, all the people that were mean to Millie get it.
And the best is my favorite, the popular bitch girl, Ryler. First off,
death,
that name.
What did you think of her death?
Her death was like, my first thought was, he pushes her in a cryogenic chamber, which, I'm sorry, what high school has a cryogenic chamber?
A rich
mine,
one?
Tim.
No,
mine.
I can't say that because I really don't.
Don't think I've ever seen one. And I do think, I feel like they wrote that because they're like, we just want to have her frozen and fall over
right.
and smash.
Which, you know, I saw that though in Jason X.
Well, I know, but like, I guess, like I said, what high school has a, either way, but that's her death. But the death that I thought was like
nasty.
Incredible.
Are you talking? I wonder if we're on the same page.
Ferris Bueller.
Yes. Alan Ruck.
Alan Ruck plays a teacher who's just an asshole to Melody.
By the way, you don't have shop in high school. You have it in seventh grade. Fun fact.
Wait, I think there was shop in my high school. What kind of shit they were doing in Ohio?
We had to, shit.
Shit. No, you didn't have shop. Or
we had
home
shop,
ec.
We had shop in home ec. And, well, I guess home ec was in high school, but we had shop in seventh grade.
I didn't have.
We had to build a birdhouse.
They put you near like tools in seventh grade?
Yes. It was so insane. I always thought it was nuts.
Nuts.
Well, I mean, like, you know those blades? You can slice your fingers
off? I don't want to be near those blades now, but I keep saying the wrong pronoun. Because the butcher, as Millie, gets total revenge on the asshole teacher and basically slices him in half with one of those saws. So that's the thing about this movie. Even though there's comedic elements, there's definite, like, horror and fun killings.
Yeah.
Like,
fun killings!
Well, that was a fun... Like, I mean... Well, oh, first, doesn't he stab him with the, like, a screwdriver or something?
Oh, yeah. And then, like, he tries to take the teenage girl out. Like, he punches her or something.
Well, that's because he, I guess if
well,
you're,
I guess,
you know,
self-defense.
Exactly. And it's so funny because he thinks that it's Millie that's just pissed at him, not a serial killer.
There was a lot of foreshadowing, like, as soon as she was in that class, he was really picking on her.
Yeah, I mean, they made him out. I mean, he was a character to be right. The asshole. So, and then there was the bully who, like, peed in his pants. But that was done by Millie as Vince Vaughn. This is going to sound so confusing.
I know.
Like, but whatever.
It's freaky.
I know. But basically, so they...
basically, the girl who's Vince Vaughn...
Yes.
Soul... takes care of all of Millie's bullies.
Which is funny because it's not like he's doing it to help her. It's just these are the assholes.
Right. Like
that
they
are
actually,
giving...
I don't want to say they deserve to die, but
they deserve
to die.
You know? Yeah. And then, but there's another really comedic element, which we got to talk about. So Millie has always had a crush on Booker, who's like the high school jock slash, of course, sweetheart. Because
he's
every other jock in this movie is a total asshole. And he,
and
of course,
you know what?
Is sensitive.
A little like, how do I put this? A little rapey? Is that?
Oh, the jocks? Yeah.
Yeah, they're all like...
No, 100%. They were. Okay. There's like a total date rapey, but...
They're very date rapey.
Totally like just... like manhandling the girls and being assholes. But again, like, and then they all die. So it's, yeah, so it's okay.
It's great.
Yeah. No, no. So Booker, they kidnap Booker and they get him to believe that Vince Vaughn is actually Millie because Vince Vaughn recites this love poem that I guess Millie had dropped in his locker. And I got to say, it was hilarious seeing this young jock boy like looking lovingly at Vince Vaughn.
Right.
Like,
and then, okay, so they obviously have that like moment, but then they go in.
We got to talk about the kiss.
Yes.
There's a scene where they're waiting in a car and they're talking. And by this point, Booker, the jock, you know, totally believes that Vince Vaughn is Millie. And they're talking and he's sort of like flirting with her and saying he's always liked her. And she, as Vince Vaughn says, you know, she's always liked him too. And then Booker says he feels like kissing him or her.
I know.
and then
Well, first off, before you talk about, I mean, like, there's so much lighting in this. Like, Vince Vaughn's face is practically in the dark. I mean, like, I was like, half of his face isn't even being seen.
Well, so they do a kiss, and the thing is, it's not meant to be, like, it's supposed to be a sweet moment, but watching Vince
Vaughn, I freaked
Vaughn,
out.
Yes, kiss a high school student. But here's the thing that I didn't like. I'm glad that the director went there because, like, yeah.
I wanted a close-up.
But when they kiss, it's so obvious that Vince Vaughn especially like covers his face. So it looks like, you know, when you were a teenager and you pretended to kiss someone or some, I don't know if you ever did that, like jokingly.
Of course I did.
Covered your face or put your fingers in front of your lips. It looks like a cheesy like fake out. And I'm just like, either do the real kiss and let us see it or don't do it.
You know, this movie, once it's made, it's forever.
But I just don't understand that. And I guess it's just I would love to know what was the thinking behind having Vince Vaughn make
I don't want to say it was a full-blown cop-out because it did happen.
But like, but I guess if you're going to take it to like 80%, why not just do 100%? You know
what
I mean?
I agree.
If they're going to kiss and you're going to do that moment, whether it's meant to be sweet, funny, whatever, show them kissing. It's not like they had to be making out.
No,
but show,
I mean,
a
even
real
just,
kiss.
Just, I mean, if you're going to go there, go there. It's a body switching movie. So just show the lips touching.
I know. And when, to me, when it looks so obviously like they were trying not to really kiss, then it makes it less appealing than if they hadn't do it.
I mean,
you know?
It did take me out of the movie for like 10 seconds. But
it did. I don't want to, like, again, it's a small part of it.
Right.
But
I'm not
like,
saying like, hey, everyone, block Freaky. Like,
Of course. Awesome. Awesome. But So anyway, they get to like the thrilling conclusion where I think they find out when they look up on the internet, because you can solve everything on the internet, that this knife was this old, like, I guess it's like Mayan
artifact. Which they found out in 5 minutes.
Exactly. That you have to, within one day, 24 hours of the soul swapping, they have to do the stabbing again so they can swap souls again. So Millie, as Vince Vaughn, I'm going to keep doing that so I don't have to use pronouns because I want to be conscious of that. So Millie, as Vince Vaughn, is with the friends trying to track down the butcher in Millie's body.
Right.
And they go to this party.
She is surrounded by three guys who are going to...
Oh, the butcher is Millie. Yes.
Yeah. This was gross.
But the butcher... the butcher, as Millie, tries to kind of get the jocks into a room and is basically flirting and saying, like, you know, like,
let's
Millie
get
can have sex. And these rapey jocks go with it. But, well, actually, one goes with
her. Oh, yeah.
But then,
there's one guy that, like, is a closet case and hits on the gay friend.
Yes. And then calls him the F word because he...
Did they?
Tell him, yeah, yeah.
Oh, he wow.
Well, but what I love is that the gay
kid is the
most self-aware one and is like, basically telling him off.
Yeah,
and then he gets killed. Not the gay kid.
Right before he gets killed, he goes, if you tell anyone about this,
the closet will
kill you.
I know.
And then he gets killed.
And then the gay kid's his way to be self-aware, and then the closeted gay guy or closeted jock gets killed. But what I thought was the creepiest part of when they were like, when the three jocks were like insinuating, I think they say, you have three holes, so we have three guys. You ever remember?
I know.
They said
I
that.
Was a little like, this
at
is...
that point, I was happy the butcher
Me
was
too.
In Millie's body
then
because
she took them all out.
All of them in this like incredible, just like
gross
gore.
Fashion, which I was happy about.
But again, it's like, even though these are gory deaths, it's nobody you care about.
Right. I mean, and like they're awful garbage people.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, but then they get to the point where it's like the big showdown between Millie and the butcher in their swap bodies. And it's so funny because it, like, after a big chase and everything, they get to the point where Vince Vaughn's going to stab Millie, or Millie's going to stab the butcher. with the swap bodies. And but then like
the movie's
alarm,
over.
No, the alarm.
Oh, that's right. It's 5 minutes delay.
The alarm goes off of midnight.
We're spoiling it, everybody.
It's been 24 hours, but she remembers that Booker had told her a tip to never be late was to set your time 5 minutes before, which is a good tip. So they realize, wait, we have 5 more minutes to do this. Get stabbed. The souls are swapped.
Okay,
again.
So you think the movie's over, and the movie.
Oh wait, we didn't say. And then the cops come and they shoot the butcher, the real butcher.
Right.
It's back in Vince Vaughn. He's
so
shot.
So he's in an ambulance, and you think the movie's over, but then the movie doesn't quite. It keeps going, and
it's definitely. And you're thinking, okay, is it going to be like one last quick scare? No, it's like big scene.
See, that's a big scene. So it's the mom's at home, her sister who's a cop, and Millie, and they're all at the house, and like he breaks into the house, and then there's like all three women take out Vince Vaughn, and I what did I say when it ended?
What did you say?
I said, remember, I was like, that was very violent.
Good conservative Connie, our nickname for Tim. No, it's a good, very like female empowerment scene because all three, it's like a very Strode Halloween 2018.
Yeah, it really was.
Well, the mom and the two daughters. Sorry,
I just said Willie was. I meant Willie. Really
it Willie was. Oh, Wascally Wabbit.
I know. I'm trying to
they
talk.
Do take him out, and it's really great because one thing that we didn't really mention, and I know we should move on a little bit, but like one thing we didn't mention is that it's not just a story about the swap. Like it has elements about the family dynamic, and the women have been estranged from each other since the dad died.
Right.
And this, I think, was almost like their weird violent bonding. Like they bonded over being strong together and like fighting off evil. I mean, maybe I'm making too much of it.
No. I think that's what the director intended and he wrote it too, right?
And there's and there's one scene that we should mention that I actually not got choked up, but like in a movie like this, you're not expecting it to hit you emotionally. But there was the scene when he's in the discount mart, Vince Vaughn, but it's Millie. Is in the, and the mom's working there and is talking to, she thinks, just a strange man about getting him clothes, but it's really her daughter, and she's like connecting.
In a dressing room.
She's connecting with them, and like the daughter, as Vince Vaughn is saying, like, things are going to be okay, like, you're going to be close with your daughter. And it was a touching
and then,
moment.
I totally agree with you, and I promise we'll move in after that. But then,
we'll move in? Where are you moving?
I'm your house, thank you. I'm homeless. The mother asks out who she thinks is the man, but it's really her daughter.
Yes, and the first response is, ooh, no. And then Vince Vaughn's like, oh, I mean, I'm married. You know, it was funny. Yeah.
Very clever.
No, but anyway, so all in all, Tim, would you recommend it?
Absolutely.
I would 100% recommend this film. I was trying to
pay the $19.99.
That's the thing. I don't recommend $19.99 video on demand that often, but for this movie, I think it's worth it. I think it has the best of all. It's like first off, if you like Happy Death Day, you'll love this.
Scream.
If you like 13. Horror and can, you know, deal with some of the campy fun of it, you'll like this. If you like, movies that really focus on character development, you'll like this had everything. I feel like, yes, it isn't straight horror. So but even if you don't like horror comedies, it's still, there was enough horror in this that I think you'll still enjoy it. Like I thought it was one of the best horror films I've seen this year.
I don't know. I think the best horror film I've seen this year is The Rental.
Actually, you're right.
You and know, also, I mean, but they're two different tones.
No, but and that's the thing. I was going to, right when I said that, I was like, I want to take that back because I don't even call this horror. It's more, it's horror
it's like,
comedy.
It's like Freaky Friday.
But completely good. But you know what's cool is that whatever Chris Landon does next, I want him to do this again where he like takes, you know how he took Groundhog Day and made it like with a killer and that was Happy Death Day. He took Freaky Friday and made it with a killer.
I like that he makes it with teenage girls because that to me is always entertaining.
Oh, I was going to say he makes it horror. Like he takes, like think of something like Scrooged and make that horror. Like, you know what I mean? He takes an existing kind of idea we've seen in movies but turns it into like relating it to horror, and I love that.
No, I totally agree. And it, like he pretty bluntly says, Friday the 13th.
Oh, right, yeah, that takes place. And it was released on Friday the 13th, but only in drive-ins and movie theaters. And I don't know about you, but I ain't seeing many movies in theaters, Tim.
None. And I don't really care for the drive-in. I mean, I'll do it, you know, with some hot guy.
I enjoy drive-ins, but it's definitely not the same as a movie theater.
I agree. Honestly. Okay, moving on.
Moving on. So Freaky, big time yes. See it, rent it.
Okay, now taking a major left turn. I can't even remember the title of this movie.
I would say like a 180 degree left
turn. Yeah, I mean, you know what? I've had 24 hours to sleep on it.
I would love to hear your thoughts on it. So okay. We decided to watch another movie that was just released as of like December 4th or something. And
you know, it's doing very well on the charts.
Is it?
Yeah, which I looked at today. It's like people are seeing this movie. So
it's the movie called The Smiley Face Murders. And just before we even talk about it, let me just say what the title should have been: Cute Naked Guy on a Bike. Wait,
okay, do you remember the name of the lead actor in this movie?
Yes, only because he's cute, so I looked him up.
Okay, what's his name? What's his name?
Ronan Rubinstein.
Okay, which... I'm not even going to say his name. I'm just going to say cute guy.
Yeah, cute
okay,
guy.
So I'm sure he is a good actor.
Well, let's... Okay, I just need to give... No, before we... There's so much to unpack this, but to give a quick... So there was a case, I guess, and I'm not fully
this
familiar,
movie is
but
loosely based.
Loosely based on murders, unsolved murders of, I think it's like young college age men who were found drowned, and people didn't know if it was because they were drunk and stumbled into like a lake or if they were killers. And they were called the Smiley Face Murders, I guess, because the killers would leave a smiley face picture. But I don't even know how much it's based on it. But they say that at the beginning
of the movie.
They give
you some facts. And you're like, ooh, we're in for a treat.
Bodies, and you're thinking, ooh, like, first off, is this true? And secondly, ooh, this is going to be a creepy, like, unsolved mysteries. Then it gets to probably 30 minutes of following a cute college guy through his day.
And it's so crazy that you just said that, because the first scene is just so long of this guy, the hot guy, walking through a college campus, and it's just like kind of lingering on his body, the camera.
I mean, like, the way they directed this, they must have known. I mean, here's the thing, like,
there's just
we're gay, and
I appreciate it.
We, of course, love that, but like, if they were catering to us, well, success.
It kept my interest.
Well, but that's the thing. Like, so, yeah, as Tim
was
saying.
But it shouldn't have.
As Tim was saying, and then you go through him, like, riding his bike. I don't know how many times he rides his bike from home to school to another place.
And he likes to shower.
Nothing's happening. The only suspense that's building for the first probably half of the movie is there's a van, which is obviously
a white
killer,
van, which is kind of creepy.
Which is creepy. It keeps following him, but nothing is happening.
No, I mean, like, okay, so we should also say that Crispin Glover is the person in the van wearing, like, what looks like, I'm not that familiar with Star Wars, but like...
Like
you
the
know
robe
what it looks,
or the cloak?
Yeah, like...
Like Obi-Wan Kenobi's
yes,
cloak? Yes,
it looks like
true.
Obi-Wan Kenobi. And then, like, the face kind of looks like... Do you remember Masters of the Universe?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, remember, not He-Man, but Skeletor.
Yes. Well, his face, I don't know if its face is messed up or if he's just supposed to. All I know is when Tim and I heard Crispin Glover
we
was
were
in
excited.
This. Exactly. Fans of Friday the 13th Part 4.
Back to the Future.
And Back to the Future. But I'd say he maybe says one line.
First off, he's such a charismatic actor. And like, everyone loves Crispin Glover. And you think you're going to get like this performance. Let me just say this. I could have played this.
I mean, I feel like it was an
extra could have played this.
It was an extra's part. I mean, it really felt like that. But so moving forward, the only thing you know about this guy is that I guess he's troubled. He's been off his medication and he's anxiety and he's having problems with his roommate and his girlfriend. And he suspects that his girlfriend is
and he plays soccer.
Dating his ex. But literally the first half of the movie, like I said, Van... Going after God.
No, he breaks into his apartment a couple times, and this should have been a huge red flag, but the lead hottie has zero to no reaction. He puts a map in his apartment with all the smiley face murder. I'm assuming.
Where are the locations of the
right, and
people.
Then he like lays out clothes. Oh, and he also gets text messages that say, you're going to meet the water.
Yeah, it's like, obviously, whoever this killer is I don't know if some cult. It keeps saying, you're going to be with the water soon. You're going to be with the water soon.
And he thinks it's his girlfriend's ex-boyfriend.
Trying to just fuck with it.
He doesn't think anything of it. He's like, that's fine.
He's not worried at all through this movie. But also, the best part is, how many scenes of him changing were there?
Lots of changing, lots of showers.
Major, like... changing to get into the shower. I mean, look, cute. You see his butt. You even see his balls, actually.
I didn't see what Matt saw, even though we paused it.
Because he's like changing. He's putting on his underwear and he like lifts a leg up.
And
there's definitely
a sex scene too.
A sex scene with the girl. Yeah. But I mean, this director wanted to really focus on this guy. Like, it's not accidental. Like,
we looked up Tim Hunter. His name's Tim Hunter. The only reason I remember that is because my name's Tim also. And, but like, he's directed lots of television shows. I don't know if he's gay or straight. I just.
Here's the thing. Regardless of whether he was gay or straight, he obviously made a conscious decision to appeal to gay men and women with the way he filmed this guy. Like, it. there's parts that almost feel like some of those like cheesy soft porns where you just watch like guys in the shower. No, I've never watched those, Tim. Never.
It's okay.
No, but did it not feel like that? I need some validation
It felt like a Showtime movie.
Yes.
Like After Dark.
Yes. That's better. Okay. Let's go with that instead. It did. But with a guy. Now, here's the thing. Maybe the director was like, how many horror movies have totally exploited women and showed them way too long? Maybe it's time to do it with a guy. And I'm all for that. But I guess as someone who, as much as I love to see naked guys, like, I don't need to see that much if it's not going to further the plot because it feels cheesy as hell.
Since the plot wasn't getting furthered, I don't know if I'm wording this right. I was like, you might as well give me this.
I feel like we need to just skip to the last probably 20 minutes when the only like horror happened. And, you know, he's been
just
getting
stalked?
Text messages and stalked for a long time, barely having a reaction.
Everyone thinks he's crazy because he snapped at his girlfriend's ex-boyfriend. I think his name was Rob.
Yeah, like that's the only thing. He doesn't think about going to the police. And so, you know, he doesn't care that someone literally is broken into his apartment. He keeps thinking it's his roommate, but his roommate's missing.
Okay, so we need to just jump right to when they kidnap him.
Okay, so, okay.
Okay, so finally the van pulls up.
Okay, and up until this point, you've already seen him naked a ton. They put a needle in him, right?
Right. And so he's like, they tie him to the truck, but they put tape.
Oh, no. They strip him naked again.
Yeah, because they're like, they know what they want to do. I don't know.
But they put tape over his junk. And the thing is that if you are a killer, and you
you're
find
gonna
out
take the time.
There, and you find out there's some cult and they want to do some sort of sacrifice. Are you really going to take the time to put tape over
his junk?
All three
of them are in robes. And like, they do look like people under the stairs. They look like the Hills Have Eyes. These people
are creepy.
Funky.
That element was a little creepy. And they keep calling him the name like Galilee. Like, we're going to get Galilee, return him to the water.
Like, I think this is from what I gather. I mean, they drink his blood. They take his blood.
Well, yes, they put needles into him and drain his blood, which it's excruciating to watch. And again, I know we just talk about Freaky, but Freaky's violence was so over the top.
It was different. It's different.
This was, I had a hard time watching that. Did you?
I actually turned away.
Because you see like the needle going in, it's just draining his blood. Like, and they're drinking it. But again, he's naked up almost like he's on a cross. But of course he has tape over.
Again, this is Crispin Glover who's doing this. And I don't even know who the other two actors are. I don't even care. But like he's full of charisma and they're giving him nothing to do.
Except that he looks creepy with a robe on and a messed up face.
Yeah. And the makeup. Good job.
But I have to, one more thing about the tape over the jar. I'm just thinking for a movie that's been so fixed on him naked anyway, why didn't they just have frontal nudity? Like usually if nudity doesn't, but this time it looked ridiculous not to have frontal nudity because nobody would have tape over them,
but
the killers.
He runs for such a long time.
Oh, he escapes. Yeah. He escapes the van and he runs to a gas station to try to get help. And literally he's running naked with tape over his junk for at least 5 to 7 minutes of the movie.
And like the van, I am shocked the van just didn't go off the road and go towards him. That was crazy.
Oh, they finally get him back after like some people at the gas station witness him. So they witness that. So they have to go and kill these
four
teenagers.
They kill all four people.
Really brutally.
Yeah, in the gas station.
Like, I think one girl got an axe to her body over and over.
It all just happened so fast.
One guy got his head blown off. And again, remember, this is an hour into the movie when up until this, the most action of the movie was like the roommate getting the hammer.
Oh, which by the way, disgusting. That was gross.
It was, but at least it was something like for the first hour of the movie.
I was like, now something's going to pick up. No.
Yeah.
Not really.
I mean, other than, bike riding. But,
I love a good bike ride.
Anyway, and then at the very end, literally they drain his blood and then they stab the cute guy in the neck and he dies. You're like, what?
Oh, and then they throw him in the water.
They throw him in the water and it's like, you're like, and again, not movies don't have to end happy, but this, you're just like left with this guy you've been watching ride his bike.
Right, the very last scene was like two.
They're going at their next victim. They're hunting down another cute guy.
Right, they get another, well, there's one scene before they get the hot guy again. Not the main guy, but like, obviously they continue on and like the movie's left with that one like symbolic, like, look at this hottie. But before that, they find him in the water. They pull him out.
Oh, yes, they find him. But well, but they no, they're showing clips of his friends saying, yeah, he was acting weird. I hope he didn't do anything to hurt himself. And I think they put that in there because, again, I think this is very loosely based on rumors. But I think a lot of the people, like some people disappeared after being drunk and they don't know if it was an accident or suicide. Yeah, but when they find the body, he's obviously his blood is drained. Like that's not an accident or a suicide. Like you don't you'd slit your wrist. Like his blood is drained in a way that is obviously someone killed him.
Yeah,
you know,
and you know what? Here's the thing. Since I've had 24 hours to digest of what I just saw.
What did you think?
I would watch it again.
Yeah, okay. Oh,
I know that's crazy.
I have a follow-up question. If the main guy wasn't as cute and wasn't as naked, would you watch it again?
Absolutely not.
Exactly. Here's my point.
It was visually, I said this when we first started watching it, it looks like a music video.
True.
But there's no music. So it's like,
I would absolutely not watch it again. I would just download the screenshots of the naked guy. No, I mean, like, seriously, though. I could not sit through that again. It was so boring.
It was so boring. You know, you're right. And I just flipped again.
No, but like, obviously, great casting choice because, well, from a looks point of view.
Right. Oh, but when he did talk, I was like, ooh.
It was a struggle. The thing is, like, I don't know that the actor was also in No Escape, which we reviewed, that escape room.
And he was fine
in that. And he was good in that. So maybe it just felt...
I don't know what the vision was. I don't know what the outcome was.
I know
was
what it was. Naked guy riding on a bike.
I guess. I mean, like, I wanted it to be. I wanted it to. I really wanted to love this movie because Crispin Glover. You know,
is Crispin Glover really going to look back and be like, well, this is a pivotal role in my career?
I would love to. If anyone knows Crispin Glover, I want to know why he made this movie.
I will say this. If he ever disowns Friday the 13th Part 4 after making this movie, there's some serious problems there.
Because he does own it.
Okay, because in Friday the 13th Part 4, he's a real character. He's funny, dorky. He has a great death scene. He's an actual person you remember. In this movie, he's a messed up face wearing a robe
with
one line.
Anyone could have played this role. Yeah. Anyone.
I do not recommend this movie. I'm sorry. And again, this is a gay guy who likes watching hot guys that are naked. But here's the thing. A lot of people are going to watch this just to see a hot guy naked. And that's fine, you know?
There's no shortage of hot guys naked. But, you know, it's because it's in a film that's trying to be something.
I just think that, again, I would have to do more research to know how much it's really based on these words. I have a feeling.
This is what we're missing. We're missing a key element to this movie. It was written by Bret Easton Ellis, who did American Psycho and Less Than Zero. So,
and The Canyons, right?
Oh, yes, and The Canyons, starring Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, so there's going to be nudity and sex, even if you don't need it. Yeah.
Okay, more sense.
What I was going to say was that if I can't imagine... this is even close to what really happened in these smiley face murders. I have a feeling they put that thing in at the beginning about boys showing up drowned, and then they just made a movie that had nothing to do with it and then put smiley faces on it. Do you know what I mean?
And the whole smiley face thing, and I know that's the title, lame.
Well, I mean, if it's based on a real thing, which I think, at least I hope that part is, like,
I don't even care.
I don't know, but the whole, the cult aspect and why the Galileo or whoever they were saying, I can't imagine that's real. I think they just put that in there. Again, however they got Crispin Glover, congratulations, because it got us interested.
You know, he must have been doing a favor.
I mean, it got us interested, that's
it
the thing.
It did, I was excited.
It's so funny, so you think it's doing well? Like,
we'll look at the chart.
I know people are probably going to say you can rent Smiley Face Murders for $6 and Freaky's $20. Pay the extra $14. Freaky is worth
it. Yeah, you'll love it. It's a good night of entertainment, but I really can't recommend it.
Smiley Face Murders. Yeah. Yeah, I thought you were going to say, but if you like hot guys, but no, and that's the thing. Like, but again,
just Google my headshot.
Listen, just Google Tim's headshot. Yeah. Yes. Well, but how about your naked pictures, Tim?
Send discreetly through Snapchat.
Snapchat. You do have Snapchat.
Yeah.
I don't have Snapchat.
You know, why would you? You're in a committed relationship.
But see, is Snapchat really only for like dick pics?
Well, you know, I'm not going to answer that.
That's a yes, everyone. And on that note, I feel like we are going to do another movie review before the holidays. But if we don't, just by any means, we should wish all of our listeners a very happy holiday season.
Happy holidays and Merry Christmas. Can we say that?
Of course. Okay. I mean, I'm Jewish, and I'll say Happy Hanukkah and Merry Christmas and Happy Kwanzaa and Happy New Year and Happy everything. The most important thing is please stay safe. Please, I'm acting like I have this platform that like so many people are listening. Please, everyone.
Tell the seven people listening to stay
safe. Look, whoever's listening, though, rent freaky, download screenshots of the actor and smiley face murders. Don't you feel like that's like, let's do a summary of the episode, Tim.
Download that guy, the end. Have a great night.
Yeah, have a great night, everyone. Thank you. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Happy Horror Time.
This podcast is hosted by Tim Murdoch and myself, Matt Emmert. It's co-produced by Jacob Randall.
You can find Happy Horror Time on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many other platforms, including Happy TV, a free streaming app with content dedicated to the LGBTQ plus community.
To stay involved with the podcast, please like our Happy Horror Time Facebook page or follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Happy Horror Time.
And if you'd like to contact us directly, email us at happyhorrortime@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, your recommendations, or any other horror celebs you'd like us to interview.
To support the podcast, please visit patreon.com/happyhorrortime. We have some upcoming bonus episodes that will be released just for our patrons.
Before we go, we'd like to recommend a podcast we both love called Movies That Made Us Gay.
Each week, the hosts, Scott and Peter, discuss a movie from their past that had a lasting impression on their lives. These guys are a ton of fun, and both Tim and I have actually made guest appearances on the show to discuss some iconic films.
I'm Tim Murdoch.
And I'm Matt Emmert. And thanks again for listening to Happy Horror Time.